I was hacking through the rough at Victoria Golf Club with my good friend Philip Lovell, and he had just taken over the local Black Rock neighbourhood watch. And as we fumbled around through the rough, he said, "Why don't you start Beaumaris?" So I did. I'd retired and needed something to do, so I started Beaumaris.
Did you have a background in, community work or journalism or advertising?
None of those things. None of those things. I had an IT software business, basically, but... No, so this is all new to me and I had to learn everything. But yes, and that's how we got started. We started, that was about 2017. And Beaumaris and Black Rock share the same postcode, so we joined the two groups together. And our newsletter then, which was about 4 pages and a circulation of about 1,500, 2,000, and over the years, it's grown. We now have a circulation of 45,000, and all through Bayside. It goes to every letterbox in Bayside now. And we have 230-odd volunteers, wonderful, helpful volunteers that deliver it for us.
Jeff, is 45,000 because that's what you can afford to print, or that's what you've got the resources to circulate?
No, that's the number of letterboxes. Some of the big apartments we don't deliver to, but 45,000 is what we print, and that goes to every letterbox, or should do, and plus businesses and doctors' surgeries and libraries and so on and so forth. But no, that's about the maximum we need to print.
And is there an online version that people can get it electronically?
Yes, they could go to our website, nhwbayside.com.au, and all the newsletters are there. And all you have to do is, go to it and print, download it if you want.
So they're as PDFs, are they?
Yes, they're okay. All PDFs.
So you can download the PDF and have a read, or print it yourself.
Yes, you should read all that.
Yep. Mm. So how are Neighbourhood Watch Group sponsored? Tell us a little about what their structure is.
Yes, okay. The overriding group is Neighbourhood Watch Victoria. They're the central body, if you like. And then there's lots of Neighbourhood Watch groups all over Victoria. They're all different. They all act very independently, actually. Ours, I think, is Neighbourhood Watch Bayside, is very different to most of the others. We've tried to make it much more of a community group than purely concentrating on crime. And whilst that's the bedrock of what we do, of course, we see that we want to make the whole community a better place to be. And so we've expanded way beyond just, burglaries and car thefts and terrible things like that. So now, I don't know if you want me to go on and tell you what we do.
Let's talk some more about crime in a little while. Mm-hmm. But I'm just interested just in terms of the structure, because people are obviously getting this in their letterbox. And for those people who, like me, don't know much about how Neighbourhood Watch is incorporated where do you get your funding from?
Well, we're all volunteers, 100% volunteers, so we don't get any support. We've got no salaried staff or anything like that. We're incorporated as a non-profit organisation, and we raise funds in various ways. We do them, the inevitable sausage sizzle and Bunnings. We get donations from people. We ask for donations. The main sponsorship we have is from Bayside Council, that helps us significantly with our newsletter, because that costs in the order of nearly $80,000 a year to print the newsletter. But all our sponsors, which are three of them, there's Bayside Council, there's Bendigo Bank, Sandringham, and there's Arcare, our three sponsors, but that only still covers about 50% of the cost of the newsletter. So, of course, we have to fund the rest by advertising.
Hence the advertising. Yeah. And what about grants and donations?
We get grants. We've had a number of grants over the years from council. We got a grant, for instance, for our Graffiti Busters group. We started Graffiti Busters. We all loathe graffiti, and we started that in Beaumaris in about 2018, about 30-odd volunteers, mostly older people. And we get together every now and then, and just go, like a bunch of locusts, we clean off graffiti.
You go and have a scrub.
Yeah, we go and have a scrub and we end up with a coffee. And anyway, council gave us a grant for a trailer. So you might see a graffiti busters trailer floating around Bayside at some stage. There's very little graffiti now, in certainly in Beaumaris and Black Rock, and gradually we're getting rid of it throughout Bayside. And that's because of graffiti busters. The council cleans council assets, but not private assets. So that's where we come in. And we do it for nothing.
It must be awful to walk outside and see that overnight your fence has been damaged with tags.
Yes. People get very upset, as you can imagine. But unfortunately, one of the biggest problems is that people just take the view that, oh, there's no point in getting rid of it because it'll come back again. And, of course, that's not actually true. It does come back. But if you continue to get rid of it, you'll get rid of it.
And the trick is to get rid of it quickly too, isn't it?
Absolutely. You've got to get rid of it literally within moments, because self-gratification for doing it. And if they can't see it, there's no self-gratification. So it's a little battle with these people.
Yeah, I remember just a note on how important graffiti is in terms of the environment that we live in, and a safe environment. There was some research years ago out of the UK that was involved in police research, and it was reported in The Economist at the time that there's a link between graffiti and crime, because graffiti is like the first step. It's followed then by rubbish, perhaps by loitering, and then it escalates and you end up with crime.
That's absolutely right. The police tell us that, you know, the more graffiti, the more there's likely to be crime. So, yes, so good thing to get rid of it.
Absolutely. So do you think that that people... I mean, how do you know that people are reading the newsletter in terms of what feedback you get?
Yeah, well, we get a lot. Look, obviously, with 45,000, we're not getting 45,000 people ringing us up and saying, well done with your newsletter. But we actually do get a lot of very nice comments about it. So, and when our newsletter deliverers are handing it out, people stop and talk to them about it. So people appreciate it, because it's really become almost the local newspaper. You know, there is no local newspaper as such anymore since the Leader went. And so our newsletter, which is a lot more in it, as you know, than just crime details. We try and make it interesting. There's a story about some poor person in 1936 who got eaten by a shark in Brighton Bay, for instance. So we cover other things other than crime to try and make it interesting.
And it's interesting that you mentioned the lack of a local newspaper. That's exactly why I took on this program, because I think we need to have local news and information.
That's right.
And the more the merrier.
The more the merrier. And we print it. People say, oh, why don't you just deliver an e-copy? But we can't get 45,000 emails. We can't get every email in Bayside. And we're trying to cover all of Bayside. So, in fact, the only way to get to everybody is by print.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Jeff Bransbury, who's the editor of the Bayside Neighbourhood Watch. You're with Claire Arthurs on 88.3 Southern FM. We're going to talk more about crime now, and this is something that part of me is reluctant to talk about crime, because I see crime as something that's so often politicised and is used to divide us rather than as something that can actually bring us together as community in terms of keeping each other safe. So when I say let's talk about crime, only to encourage all of us when we think about crime to be realistic and to be factual and to actually get the facts about just how much crime there is and what the risks are. Because crime is often used to stir things up and for political point scoring, which I don't know what you think, Jeff. I don't think it benefits any of us.
No, I mean, unfortunately, as you would know, the media does tend to bring bad news all the time, and always talking about all the terrible things that are going on, you know. And it's on a day-to-day basis, it's probably much less than you would think. And it does scare people. It scares people, and some people are quite scared to go out because of the burglaries. But so what we always try and do is we always try and put solutions. So if we're going to talk about burglaries or car theft, we'll always tell people what they should do to minimise car theft. And so we always try and put a positive, well, not a positive spin, but you can't call it positive having a car theft, but not having your car theft is positive, isn't it? So
The last, we were talking about crime, Jeff, and I was interested coincidentally to read that the Victorian Crime Statistics Agency released figures for the year to June, just last week, showing that crime is up. Adjusted for population growth, it's up by, I think it was around 13%. What's your view of crime in the area? What are you hearing and seeing as the editor of the newsletter?
First of all, whilst crime is up overall, it's actually, Bayside is still one of the safest areas. So whilst it's not good in one way, relatively speaking, it is. The police tell us all the time that car theft, just taking car theft, 83 or something like 80% of cars are stolen through because the doors aren't locked. And the same with burglaries, because their people don't lock their doors. Very simple solutions to minimise crime is to do the basics, lock your doors and make sure you don't have a laptop sitting on the back seat of your car. Put the car out of sight if you can. So there's a lot of solutions to crime, or minimising it, and I guess that's what we're always trying to do. We can't in Neighbourhood Watch. We're not the police, so we can't actually do anything. All we can do is try and help people to avoid it, and not to be scared of it, and to try and protect themselves. I think that's really about it. But
is there a formal relationship between Neighbourhood Watch as an organisation and Victoria Police?
There has been. It's a fairly loose relationship, but we, for instance. We have a very close relationship with the Bayside Police. We're having coffee with the cops sessions, which are very popular. We had one last week at the Brighton Yacht Club, and there's about 70 people there, and that's where you get to know the police as human beings. You know, they're not booking you for speeding and things like that. You get to hear what they're doing, and they're doing an awful lot, which perhaps most people don't appreciate. You only often hear the bad stuff again, you know, whereas there's a lot of good things they're doing.
And we do hear and as you've mentioned, it's the nature of news that we do hear the bad stuff. Mm. I mean, do you feel safe in Bayside?
Yes, although I have to say we've had a few of these street problems in my street. So in fact, our dog saved us in the sense that he barked away, and that scares. So it's good. That's a good solution to stopping crime. It's not just CCTV. Just get a dog.
Get a dog. Yes, I was robbed when I lived in Canberra, and the police that came to the house had a map, and it had a they'd picked it up from somebody who they'd caught, and apparently it was a map of the immediate suburbs, and there was a cross on certain houses.
Yes.
And when the police checked why those particular houses were crossed, they all had a dog.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah,
yes.
It is. Yes. So let me just go to the crime figures that came out last, not the numbers, but the crime statistics that came out last week. I had a look at what the Victoria Police commentary was on those statistics that came out, and the police listed the top five areas of crime that they're dealing with. And you've already indicated what the top crime is, and it is theft from a vehicle. Mm. So, you know, when I think it's really interesting to pay heed to this, because when people think about feeling unsafe, feeling frightened, being worried about rising crime, again, it's really important to look at the facts. Mm. So top crime, theft from a vehicle. Number two, surprise, surprise, theft of a vehicle. What do you think the third one is?
Are you asking me?
You can have a guess if you like.
Burglaries.
Okay, the third one is domestic violence. So, you know, we think about feeling safe in our home. In fact, once you've ruled out getting your car robbed or your car itself stolen, the greatest area of crime is, in fact, from people that we know. So that's number three. Number four, theft from a shop. And that's where organised crime is heavily involved. We're seeing major theft from retail through organised crime. And number five, do you want to take a guess? No? Okay. Number five is other kinds of theft. And the biggest category within that is back to cars again. Petrol. Theft of petrol. So it's really important that we look at the facts when we think about rising crime, that we're not just responding to this generalised fear. Mm. What does Neighbourhood Watch do? I mean, how do you tackle these figures and reports from police? What's your role there, Jeff?
We get our statistics. We don't get statistics from the police nowadays, but we get our information through speaking to people and things like that. So we try and communicate with people through talking to them through the newsletter, and through our forums. We do a lot of community meetings and forums and things like that. We had a big scams forum, for instance, only a couple of weeks ago at the Sandringham Yacht Club. We had 120 people there. Very successful. We had our Crime Stoppers and the other one. Crime's forgotten who it is.
And it's important because it's...
Scam Watch. Yes,
so it's not just about giving information. It's also about a chance for people to connect.
Absolutely. And sharing the issues. And again, like with car theft, there's a lot of solutions on how to minimise being scammed, as probably everyone knows. But we all fall for it.
And it's something we need to be reminded of constantly.
Continually.
You know, changing your passwords.
You've got to be aware. Well, you've really got to assume everything's a scam. And you've got to, every email that comes in, before you click anything, you need to think, is this genuine? And it's very sad that we have to think like that nowadays, but we do. And if you do think like that, you're possibly going to avoid being scammed.
It's that great line, if you get something and it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You mentioned, Jeff, as well, that talking about graffiti and things happening in the street, often it's children that are involved in crime.
Yes.
And that was one of the things that came through in that report I was talking about.
And they're coming
from
all over the Melbourne. You know, that's the trouble. They're not just local kids.
And that's repeat offenders. One of the things that police say they're concerned about is that they're arresting the same people.
Yes, yes. And it's good to see that they are trying to change these bail laws. I mean, perhaps not going far enough, but that's at least there's an improvement. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's just happened this week, hasn't it? The new bail laws.
Yes.
What else does Neighbourhood Watch do?
Well, a lot, actually. As I mentioned, we're more than just crime. For instance, just running through a few things. I mentioned coffee with the cops and forums that we do. But we also have a group of which is called Bayside Litter Patrol. There's about 50 volunteers in that group. And they each have a bit of a few streets and they go around picking up litter. And they've saved the council hundreds of thousands of dollars and made the streets better. We paint murals. We've done a lot of beautiful murals. That's graffiti mitigation, really. We've done some special projects when we something things that we think are interesting. Like when we had the bushfires a few years back, we filled up three containers and we got the local kids to paint them. And we sent them down to Gippsland for
shipping containers.
Shipping containers. Wow. We got the trucks. We got free trucks. And they all got trucked down to Gippsland. People, residents were thrilled. We got everything from food to mowing mowers and everything. Brilliant that was. And then only 2 years ago, we ran a most amazingly successful art show at Brighton Town Hall. And it was in aid of a local artist, a brilliant local artist who was having some problems, and he had all these paintings that he was going to give away. And we said, you can't give them away, they're beautiful. And so we sold them for him, and we sold $60,000 worth.
My goodness.
Yes. And a part of that money went to defence dogs, therapy dogs for defence people.
Ex-personnel. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it was very successful, great fun. And plus that, we're also on various safety committees with council, things like that. So we're quite busy for a bunch of volunteers, to be quite honest.
Sounds amazing. It sounds like you must be always busy.
Yes.